Tom here who's sad.
Oh, Tom.
And the smell. I'm bringing the kids to soccer. I'm cooking this. I'm cleaning this. Shut the fuck up. Tell him, Steve Dave.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Tell Him, Steve Dave. We've got a packed house today here, Q.
We sure do.
We do. We got Walt Flanagan, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course. Walt is here.
Yes.
We got Tom.
Hello, fellas.
Hey, T-O-M.
Yeah, the T-O-M.
Yep.
Who is suffering. He's not here to talk overkill. He's here to talk real life.
Yeah.
Boy.
He's telling me he's in a state of a down spiral.
Really?
His changes.
He's going through his changes?
He's going through his changes.
Getting the hot flashes. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about his midlife crisis.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about it is he's harassed me like three times. I still want to come on and talk about my midlife crisis.
Oh, wow. He needs help.
When can I do my midlife crisis?
All right.
When can I come in and do the midlife crisis?
Today's the day.
Is that what I said? Or did I say I know you're looking for content so I can come on and talk about midlife crisis? I mean, whichever way.
So it better be a legit midlife crisis, right, or you're going to face some major backlash.
Yeah.
You are going to be fucking eviscerated online.
Well, more so.
You were looking for content, and I said, what if I talk about this?
Well, I assumed it was a real midlife crisis. No,
sure.
Most people don't. I think that was your way of like minimizing it. Like, hey, I'm really suffering, but here, I'll try to phrase it.
Right, in a way that
in
I
a
don't
way.
Look like a puss.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got Josh here, of course.
The cleaner man.
The cleaner. Yeah, I walked in the office. It doesn't look that much cleaner out there.
Not in the front, no, but you got to go to the back where he's made some headway. Although, like, how many times have you been here so far to make that level of progress?
Maybe three or four.
Oh, yeah, boy. Rome wasn't built in a day, Q.
Yeah, no.
That mess didn't happen overnight.
No, it did not. No, it did not. But
you didn't notice right when you walked in? Like, the tables were like, –
no, it was, my eyes still went to the pile, the avalanche in the corner.
Yeah,
but I was surprised. I thought Gidim was going to stay overnight and bang it out and show everybody.
What would
you don't
you
know
think Gidim?
No,
you don't
right.
know Gidim.
Gidim is Mike-less, by the way.
Yeah. Okay,
that's probably on purpose.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the shame would work, but it didn't.
No. I think it's more likely that he's behind the scenes sabotaging Josh and like collapsing things later in order to make sure that, look, even Josh couldn't clean it. Yeah. Like, how could
that's
I do
theory?
It? More, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've been taking pictures as I go just to make sure. But I was showing Brian earlier, I found stuff that has just appeared.
Yeah, like suddenly the TV's back there. Uh-huh. I guess the TV broke, so the TV's back there now. There's chip bags, like potato chips.
Yeah.
That are filled with empty soda cans, like just shit and food and garbage that I'm like, what? Like, what kind of fucking maniacal mind is like, instead of throwing this can out in the garbage, I'm going to stuff them into this potato chip bag and then secret them away in the back room.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
There has to be a reason. I mean,
there's a reason.
There's a reason.
Whether we can relate to it or understand it.
I have no idea why, though.
So how do you feel it's going so far, though?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I'm surprised at what I'm finding at times.
Mm-hmm.
Finding any treasures?
Find a fucking iTunes card, and get this.
Yeah.
Our office, you find a fucking iTunes card buried in the garbage.
Uh-huh.
Shouldn't it belong to the proprietor? Somebody can't just be like, oh, that's mine. Like, get him is like, well, that's my garbage and that's my fucking Cheeto bag. So that means that's my iTunes card too.
Is that what happened?
Because I asked him, I don't want to claim it immediately. I was like, what, is this your iTunes card? Yeah. And he goes, probably.
Right. Probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's also like all
how
kinds
of. How much is on it? Like $2?
I think it was unused. It could be a 50 to 100.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There's all sorts of unopened mail. Too.
Oh, he's going to guilt it to me now. I don't want your pity iTunes
how
card.
How gracious he is.
Yeah. There's no joy in that. Just finding it, though. It's like finding a $20 bill in your pocket.
Yeah. It's empty. I think finder's keepers, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, then it's fine.
Oh, there's nothing on the card. Yeah. Oh, he's saying there's nothing on the card.
So why is it still
so
here?
So why is it saved?
Yeah. Yeah, why is it here then? That's the question. He doesn't know.
Why is the broken TV still here?
Well, he's going to fix that, he says.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He's going to buy a circuit board. He's a TV repairman now. Fucking 2025, he's repairing TVs.
Yeah, I'm finding money all over the floor, too.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
Are you keeping it?
All kinds of.
Or are you storing it?
Well, I put some of it up by the microwave. I was going to stack it all up, and I saw that there was a change jar out there that you can put the money into and it counts it. It's still in the box. I thought I would pull that out at some point. But then today I noticed the tip jar for the website.
Oh, yes.
To queue.
Yeah.
So I'll just put it all in there.
Sure. That's good. That's fair.
Change and dollar bills. Are just all over the floor.
Well, run any of that by me first. If it's bills, I'll take them and then just put the change in the queue, internet thing, whatever that is, whatever jar you were talking about.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. What do we want to talk about today? There's so much. I wrote down a whole bunch of stuff. We got Tom here who's sad.
Oh, Tom.
Yeah, he's brokenhearted.
What's going on?
What do we go to first?
Now, you don't have a close knit.
Yeah, what happened to the Yeti group?
That you can bring your.
I guess they're all the same age, so they can't really help. We're older and wiser.
Exactly. Yes, older and wiser. So I need people who have already gone through the experience to guide me, give me a roadmap through it.
Gotcha. Your loser friends aren't going to help you.
That's
correct.
Yeah.
How old are you again, bud?
So I turn 43 next Wednesday.
Okay, so 43.
Oh
okay.
Man, so that's like a big bump in the road, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's your mid.
Is 43 a tough age?
Well, it's getting up there, you know. It's getting a little bit edging closer to 45, midway half point to 50.
I remember those days.
You know, salad days.
And what's the darkest thoughts that have been going through your head?
It's more
John Listana. Yeah, was going John Listana's family.
It's more like what am I leaving behind? You know what.
What are you missing?
Yeah, exactly. Between what am I missing and what am I?
Your legacy?
A lot of things that I've started that I haven't finished that, you know, maybe you guys could decide which one I should do. And just in, you know, what else have I missed? There's a lot of things that I've never done in my life.
Is there things though that you want to do that you know may not go over well if you do them with other people in your life?
No, I can answer that.
Yes.
No. I can't get to specifics.
No. No, I don't think it's like, you know, leave my wife or, you know,
leave.
Anything like that. Well,
yeah, even leave her. Maybe just go on a date with somebody.
No. In the marriage department, that's perfectly happy. No. I think it's more, you know, as you get older.
Really?
I
would think, though, if that department is happy, then everything else just falls by the wayside. Like,
isn't that you've said that forever? Happy wife.
Yeah,
happy life.
I mean, yeah. Just because you have what you haven't finished a couple of jigsaw puzzles and now you're ready to fucking throw yourself off the top of a building.
It's jigsaw puzzles. All right, I can just go home now. Yeah, you guys solved it.
What is it like? What are you talking about? What type of things?
Well, I mean, as far as like unfinished things, I always wanted to. You know, when I was late teens, I did Taekwondo for 6 or 7 years, but I never got my black belt.
Right.
So, you know, it am I too old to go back to that?
I don't think so.
Probably too fat.
Well, so that's my next thing is that, you know, over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, I've lost over 100 pounds, but I'm not finished that. So should that be my end goal of to finish what I started with that?
Yes.
Well, how interested are you in getting in shape? That's the question.
I would say, I mean,
Taekwondo is probably hard without being in shape, right?
It's harder. It is. Yeah. So I figure I got about 50 pounds until I get to what I want to be at for a healthy weight.
How long did it take you to lose the 100?
About a year. And then like the rest of it kind of just like, at that point, it just sort of, you know, plateaued for a couple of years. You know, things got in the way, you know,
the kids got older, sure. more, you know.
I heard there's kids. A new drug on the market that
you could take. Oh, the Ozempic?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you considered
no.
Ozempic?
That's
no.
That's off the table.
I don't take any drugs whatsoever, so I'm pretty much wow. with Walt with aspirin.
I'm around a bunch of fairies. You guys, yeah. curator. Yeah. We're in Key West. I see curator, like the chillest guy in all of Key West, sitting there without a beer, without a joint, yeah. just fucking taking it in. Just relaxing.
I mean, I'll drink the occasional like alcoholic beverage.
Okay, well then that's not straight edge then.
I'm not straight edge.
All right, no. then get the hell out. I said club.
That's your problem.
You've done more drugs than I have.
Really?
Yeah. Well, mine's zero.
I did all my drug taking was within like a 6 month span.
Okay. It's still 42.
All right, so maybe him. That's what we do then. Maybe we go we roll up to Newark, get you an 8-ball.
So we're skipping like edibles, or we just go straight to
snort it in front of us, and we'll be, take care of you while you go on your trip.
Oh, okay.
And you can practice Taekwondo.
And how's this helping me?
I don't know. It sounds like you want to do some drugs. It sounds
I
like
I don't think that's what I want to do.
Do you? Do you? Because I do feel like I'm too old now to do coke. I'll probably have a heart attack. Mm-hmm. I always did want to try it. Never did because I was too scared. I was going to have a heart attack. So now it's something like that's too late for me now.
Yeah, no.
But a young man like you,
no sir.
That was the Reagan administration trying to scare you, not doing coke, no, that your heart was going to explode.
It was Len Bias having that heart attack. Yeah,
but he also was a fucking doing
–
like
doing
truckloads
of
coke. Yeah, while you probably weren't – you couldn't score a fucking thimble of coke in high school.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, I don't have any desire to try anything like coke or heroin or anything like that.
Then you really aren't having a midlife crisis. You got to do something dangerous. You got to do something fucking so out of character.
Oh, that's what it is? I mean, out of character for me is I've never been to a concert. So out of character for me would be going to a concert.
Not going to skydive? What did Josh say?
Skydive.
No. That's too crazy.
So then what is it? Is it karate and losing weight?
There's a lot of things. I just feel that, you know, like I started writing a book. I never finished it. I think it's a lot of like unfinished things that I'm looking for guidance. So did you feel – did you complete any of the things when you guys were going towards it? Or did you just say, nah, fuck it, and just stay
and
watch TV?
Yeah, he doesn't listen to TSD. There's a
Well, I know Brian's answer.
The street is paved with unfinished
– unfinished projects, yeah.
But do I go down
ideas
that route?
That never see the light of the – did ever see fruition.
Yeah, you know what we should do?
That's it. I think a lot of those projects that you start when you're younger are about finding yourself, right?
Okay.
And now you're kind of here, mm-hmm. kind of midway through the whole thing. You're running out of time. Doesn't seem like it, but you are. So you got to make the list about like what you want to do. I think losing weight is a slam dunk. Like it's only going to improve every single aspect of your life will be improved.
And like we were talking about earlier, it's not only for you, for your kids too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And your wife.
That is true.
Yeah.
Here's a simple fix. Something, you know, why don't you get contacts and lose the glasses? That alone changes everything.
I can't do it.
Oh, my God.
I can't
why?
Do it. Oh,
let's see what the glasses off.
He looks like a movie star without the glasses.
Does. Look at this matinee idol.
No. Beautiful. He does.
Eyes all close
behind
together.
Those fucking peepers. those fucking Coke bottle glasses.
Oh, but you were a bunch of fairies before this, but.
you have like long eyelashes, dude.
I do.
Yeah, they're very
like a black woman.
I can't do.
you take those glasses off, you might have too many honeys to beat off with a stick.
That's
a new problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone's like, if you're in Taekwondo and glasses, people are like, here's some nerd that has to try to protect himself, but right. he has the glasses off. Yep. It's like, here's a tough
mo honeys, mo problems.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your wife better look out. You take those glasses.
She wants some glasses fucking adhesive onto your forehead. That's definitely, you got the Superman shit going on. You got the Clark Kent. You got
true.
It.
Oh, okay.
You look totally different without the glasses.
Gotcha.
I'm not kidding around.
Why? And you haven't considered LASIK either.
I think I would try that. I can't touch my eyeballs to put in contacts.
No.
Mm. No.
I'm the same way.
I've tried it. Like, freaks me out.
Right.
How long can you keep contacts in? It's the longest you can go without taking them out.
I think like a day or two, I think. I thought you had to take them out at nighttime.
I don't know. There are some that you can sleep in, I believe. But like, I remember I had them and they always dried up anyway. back when I wore contacts.
I saw like a video where this woman had like 42 contact lenses that just kept rolling into her eyes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to do that.
But what if I can't remove it then?
If you can't take it out?
Yeah.
Got it. Sometimes it will slip into the back of your eye and you have to help get somebody to help you out. Yeah. That's pretty rare though.
I thought I was the timid mouse of TSD Town.
It's Tom.
I thought I was the guy who fucking wouldn't put his toe into any fucking body of water. I look like a fucking – I look like Tom Cruise on the set of Mission Impossible 15 compared to Tom.
That's correct.
Right? I mean, it's fucking pathetic.
Well, he's looking for help. That's what he's
here
for. Yes. He's pathetic.
Yeah. I don't want to be 43 and pathetic. I want to stop pathetic at 42. That's why I've come to you guys
like
for
everything
guidance.
We say, you're like, no, can't do that. No.
Can't put contacts in.
Well, I mean, to be fair, suggested driving to Newark and getting an 8-ball coke.
That'll put hair in your chest, though. You walk up to somebody you don't know, and you're like, hey, I want to score some coke. That right there, it's even better than doing the coke. You're just walking up to a total stranger.
That takes balls.
Yeah.
Or stupidity, one of the two.
If it makes you feel any better.
You got to hold a big fat wad of fucking bills in your hand while you do it.
Don't even put it in your pocket.
I better use the Taekwondo first.
If it makes you feel any better, my mother went skydiving at 60.
Yeah, I don't know. Walt's already ruled that out.
That's almost my age.
Yeah.
What made her go skydiving at 60?
My brother was doing it. So I was 30 at the time. I went, she went, and my brother went all on the same plane.
So you've skydived?
Oh, many times, yeah. When I did it once, I did it a lot after that.
Addicted to the adrenaline.
Yeah.
That could be
so much fun.
Yeah.
Do you like to fly? Are you afraid of flying?
I'm not afraid of flying. Okay. No, I've flown.
Are you afraid of
jumping out of planes?
I don't know. I mean, I
don't feel bad. It's not something I would do.
Yeah, I don't know. I worry just like, God forbid, I've heard a lot of stories about people.
I did it once, and I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Not because it was an awesome experience, but like, there's a lot of points where your life's in someone else's hands, and I just think like, got it. I got it.
I went bungee jumping and swore I'd never do it again.
Yeah, you did that in Australia, right?
Yeah, I did it in Australia with Moj, and I jumped off, and I didn't know that once you hit the bottom, you bounce back. Well, I knew you bounced back, but I didn't know you started to spin.
Oh,
and holy shit, was I sick for hours after that. Hours. No idea that was going to happen.
I'm not sure your body produces adrenaline. You're so like kind of like,
you're like estrogen.
With those fucking eyelashes. They only get that long fucking if you got a lot of estrogen in your body. You're oozing it like a fucking
it's
coming out like a faucet.
Like pus. Out of an open sore.
I think these guys have been a little hard. I'm going to be honest. I do think they're coming at you hard. You came here looking for help. So far, you've gotten a healthy dose of mockery.
Well, I think it all comes down to like these things that are unfinished. Like you just have to maybe prioritize them and say like, okay, here's what I really want to do. I remember when my grandmother was very old. She was like in her 90s and she's like, I always wanted to go to Maine and I never went.
God, it's such a simple achievement.
So easy, yeah. And
just right up
the next summer. The next summer, I went to Maine because I was like, I've always wanted to go to Maine.
Did you bring her?
No. That's on her.
Your mistakes are your own, old lady.
Yeah. There's no way I could have dragged her around me. Yeah. But yeah, she's like, I always wanted to do that, and I never did. And I'm like, wow, what a simple thing to have achieved. But I guess she just didn't want it badly enough. Yeah. Well, you don't like music, so why would you ever go to a concert, right?
Well, I mean, is it kind of like the experience of, like, I've never done that. And I think I would rather do a concert over, you know, like, an 8-ball coke. So I think if I was going to pick one thing new to do, it would be like a concert over that.
Is that for a guy who loves music and has been to countless concerts?
Yeah, can you even,
is that like a foreign
How does that compute in your head that this guy hasn't gone to a concert?
Yeah, it seems unusual to be in your 40s and to live in New Jersey. So close to New York City and the PNC is right there. Philly's right there. Well, you're blessed with opportunities.
To be fair, big cities scare me, so that's probably the reason why I haven't gone there.
Right. But there's plenty of, like, you haven't even been to, like, a show in a bar with people playing. You've never heard live music.
I mean, I'm sure there's been live music at a bar, but does that really count as a concert, though? Like,
no, I'm just trying to get a sense for what's stopping
you. Ease into it.
Yeah.
Ease into a concert.
Well, has there ever been anybody that you wanted to sing a concert and didn't?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any
crazy.
So.
Well, here's the thing, because listening to you and just thinking about what I went through in my 40s and stuff, and I've come to a place where, because you do have that list of shit you never did, go to Maine, go to a concert, but I think for me it became more about like realizing what on the list I didn't give a fuck about. Like, I always wanted to go see the pyramids, right? I just got a certain age. I've seen so much shit in my life that I like, I know what it's going to be like. I'm going to stand there. It's going to be fucking hot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see something I've seen a picture of a billion times. I'm going to be like, wow, it looks.
And the smell.
It looks like the picture. You know what I mean?
Why would it have a smell?
You know.
It's camel shit. But like, my point is you get enough similar experiences where I'm like, look, would it be cool? Sure. How much do I really give a fuck at this point about going? And like then you're when that's how I check things off the list. Like, right. Not
when giving
you
take
a fuck
into account what it would take to get there.
Yeah.
And the process is like, I'll look at the pictures.
And I read this somewhere, and I wish I could remember where. Maybe it'll come to me eventually. But somebody wrote that the fear of missing out makes no sense whatsoever, because like people are like, I never saw the pyramid before I die, or I never went to Maine. It's just like you're missing out on everything. Like everything that's going on in the world right now, you're missing out on. You're missing out on everything at all times. So you should jettison the idea of like, I'm never going to get to see the pyramids, because like you're also never going to do a billion fucking other things. So I think like once I got that in my head, I was like, oh yeah, like there's no way I'm ever going to fucking do everything anyway. So it comes down to like what makes you happy. And I don't know, if getting on a plane and going to Egypt and fucking paying all that money and going there just to see it and then being like, all right, what am I going to go see? A museum's going to fucking matter. Whereas like sitting there and writing a book is like fun to me. Like that's – so I think it's like, what does it matter to you? Look at that list and what are you able to go like, who gives a shit? Because get used to saying that, because that's going to be your defense from now on.
I know.
Oh, I can't fucking – skate anymore. Right. You can't, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? You just
especially now that you're a family man, it's a much different life than when you were younger doing your taekwondo and not having a care in the world, right?
True. But I mean, there's still like, you know, for example, like I really had that fear of missing out when I saw like Get'em in the background in Key West dancing with Joey Fatone. I was like, I wish I could have went to that.
You would have danced with Joey Fatone?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so it's that sort of like, oh, my.
Well, that's missing out on a good party.
Exactly.
Yeah, that I get. Right.
And, you know.
Opportunity, like, oh, I probably, like, I could have gone to that. Like we could have made arrangements. So it's like stuff like that. Like, I could have pushed for that type of thing.
Sure.
So it's always like, do I push harder for those type of, like.
Would there have been enough in the budget for a Tom Malicheski?
Well, I don't.
Yeah, we could have put him up again.
I mean, okay. Yeah. All right.
Just didn't need a budget for it. You could have given me a staff.
We couldn't afford Jimmy.
I understand that. Yeah. I'm no Jimmy.
Jimmy came with demands.
Yeah.
A writer, as they call it.
Yeah, Tom would have just asked for a staff badge so he could have hung out with Joey Fatone.
You
so.
Would have been good with that. But I mean, the thing is, like, that is something where that to me makes sense. Your friends were there, you're connected to it, it was a fun party. Why? That's kind of the no-brainer. Why wouldn't you do that? You know what I mean? But yeah. if I don't know, pick anybody. Who played Michael Knight? Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Was throwing a fucking Hasselhoff party in Key West. Like, you might be like, I love Knight Rider, but I'm not going. Like, that had a lot of your friends and a project that you're part of in a way. So it's like, not in a way, you are. So it's like, I could see you, that to me makes sense wanting to be to that one. I don't think that's a middle-aged thing. That's like, fuck, that would have been fun for you.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to, is those sort of regrets, like when I started, you guys were talking about like midlife, like, and the things like that, and then seeing Get'em down there, and it just got me thinking, like,
even Get'em's living.
Even Get'em's living better than me right now.
But haven't we danced together on projects, on Patreon stuff? So what's the big deal? You dance with me?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, what was I thinking? Same thing.
Suck it up.
Yeah. But maybe I can get an accountability buddy. For the weight loss?
No, that's not happening.
No, not even to help me.
Look in this direction.
Achieve.
Look in this direction.
Okay,
I'm looking to lose weight.
Okay,
too.
All right.
Fat as can be.
We'll hold ourselves accountable. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So what does that mean? Like, how do you lose weight? Like, what's your plan?
You shame the other guy.
I've already been shamed enough already on the show. No, I would say, like, you standard 2,000 calories, start walking. Like, I did a 5K last year, and I was hoping to achieve one goal but wasn't able to do it. So another one of my regrets is, like, training again this year to get under 30 minutes.
It's great.
Like I was at 36 last year.
Oof. Almost 37.
Almost 37. So sorry. Cool. 37.
Rousing snoogans going on.
But yeah, so I mean, like, I think a lot of it is like, I'll do good for a couple months and then you drift off. So you kind of need that, like.
That's human nature, though. You shouldn't fault yourself too
yeah,
much.
Yeah, but that. It doesn't help me get to the end of the goal, though.
Yeah, but you can't beat yourself up about it. You just got to be like,
get back on track.
All right, I slipped. Let me just start again.
Oh, well. Yeah, but then, like, you know, stuff comes up. So that's why I think I need more like an accountability partner for that can shame me.
Well, it sounds to me like you're already creating obstacles to put in your own way.
I want to do it.
Yeah, but you're saying like, oh, I can't do it unless I have an accountability guy. A guy who, you know, how often are you going to text him back every meal? Like you two are just locked at the hip now? No, probably
not every meal. But during Fat Boy Summer, we texted quite a bit. Our projects and stuff.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Like, you know, once every other week, like, you know, like, how's it going? You still there? What happened? What'd you fail with?
Come on, let's crack open the real Tom. Let's get into fucking clear the spider webs out. See what's really inside now. We want something meatier than that.
You called me very mild.
I want something dark and like a secret that you only
have. Like I always wanted to know what it felt like to kill somebody.
I don't think I'm pretty surface when it comes to that. I don't think I have anything.
Is it possible Tom's just boring?
Yes.
No.
He's not, right?
No, he's hiding something. Yeah. He's holding back. He's not willing to bear at all, even though he begged for this segment.
I did not beg for this segment.
He's not willing to give us the real – what's really at the root cause of all this. He's just not willing to say it out loud, which I get.
You want
to
leave your wife? Just say it.
No, it's not that.
You want to go out for milk and never come back?
I started smoking, honey.
Yeah, pack of cigarettes, yeah.
You want to be with a man?
Yeah, no.
That's
true. Did you do that in college?
No.
No?
No.
Did you go to college?
I did.
Yeah,
what college did you go to?
It was a local college.
That's where all the most – fruity stuff happens, I heard, at the community level.
That week that you go, is that what happened to you?
I left. I saw what happened.
Who gave you mono?
Wow, you remember everything.
It's D-O-M, man. But what is it? Like, what would you die having not accomplished and that would that bother you? What would bother you?
I think I don't know if it's more just like the list gets bigger, you know, like the not getting the black belt, the not finishing the book, just it like every, you know, every time you start something and you don't finish it, it just adds a little to that list.
But that list, that's what I'm trying to say. Like that list shouldn't like that list is going to become a list of things that you don't give a fuck about. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a couple of gems on there. And I'm just trying to like help you say the things that you're like, oh, man, I really like the book thing.
I think it's the
third time they've mentioned
it. I think it's the book. So I think it's like I get started, but I also think like other than like, you know, Chuck's friend, Brad.
Yeah.
I don't have anyone else that like really reads.
Yeah.
So I don't have anyone that I could like be like, oh, this is a good idea. Or no, this is absolutely horrible. Because I feel like if I got through it and I don't know the disappointment I would be like if I like. I really bared everything I had in this book and it's like completely rejected. So I guess like keeping it.
Who?
Like publishers or anything else, like well, to actually put
happen.
It out.
That's going
to
happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
you can self publish on Amazon.
Was it 12 times we talked about her getting rejected? Tom's like, I'm going in.
I don't expect to get it the first time out of the gate.
Well, it sounds like
but you. But I feel like, that yeah. like
you can handle it if it doesn't, though.
Well, I mean, I think leaving it in the like pause section of not finishing it just as like a regret as opposed to like, oh, no, I failed. Like, I went.
But you didn't fail. If you write the book, you wrote the book.
Yeah.
Like, why
now
are
you're talking
you?
About something so, totally yeah. separate. You're talking about public acclaim or public attention or, like, you know, rather than like, what I want to do is write a book. And then once you write that book, regardless of how it's received, you fucking did it.
Yeah, that's what you got to focus on.
It's process. Like it sounds though. Like he's more scared about the end point.
I feel it's both. Yeah, I feel it's like, yes, I would. I the first step would be the finishing, but I think the second step is a bigger fear of the rejection of it.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen.
Bombed out.
Yeah, you got to come to terms with that because
yeah, you
not many people right out of the gate have immediate
I know
success.
And it, you probably shouldn't even be writing a book if like your only reason you're writing it is so that people love it. Like,
that's I don't think it's to get an idea out of my head, but then it's also if I'm the only one that had it though in the end, I don't think that's final outcome for me though. Like you said, you were like in the process of writing a book.
Yeah.
So you're perfectly fine if it never goes anywhere after once it's out of your head.
Do you know how many things I've created that have gone absolutely nowhere? Like I've had one thing created that went somewhere. Everything else, true. Everything else is like has been like, you know, you do it because you love it, and now I fucking come up with ideas and I don't even show them to people anymore. I'm like, all right, I got this out and stuff like that. It is because it's like, look, also like I've had things come around, like I always wanted to make a movie, we made the movie, and then you get through it and you're like, oh, all right, it's the same as everything else. It's just another experience. So I maybe I have that perspective that you don't, but it's really not outcome you should be focused on. It's process. It's like, why do you want to write the book? Like, forget the outcome. Like, what about the process do you like? Getting the ideas out, developing the ideas, developing ground, building a world, getting an hour for yourself a day where you get to sit there and be creative. Like, Those are the only benefits you might ever get from it. And if those aren't enough, then fucking don't do it. It's like going to Egypt. Like if the only benefit is I get to stand there in the fucking sand and smell the camel shit and see something somebody built 2,000 years ago, it's like, well, then why am I bothering to go? Like it doesn't mean anything to me.
I think you'll come across any person who's created anything, you're going to find that there is a litany of things that didn't work out for them before – this thing that you're aware of,
yeah,
and now you deem them successful. They probably have so many failures and so many things that didn't go the way that they hoped they would it would go. The countless comics I've started have never been finished, and it's just life. That's just the way it is. Like nobody just shits out something and immediately becomes beloved and
unless praised. You're Pam.
Yeah, if you're talking about Shane and heir to the throne, yeah, different story.
Look how long that took.
Yeah, that was a journey. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. So don't
and
focus.
Your kids will read it.
That is true.
Like, how great is that? Like,
well, is it something you want your kids to read, or is it something real pervy?
It's not
pornographic.
Is it about that man?
No, there's no
Lady Chatterley shit.
Elf porn and
that fucking elf porn is everywhere, man. Yeah. Did we talk about that already?
No, not yet.
It is fucking crazy. You know this, Walt? Like,
no.
Everybody's reading these fucking.
Oh, that's the Game of Thrones effect, right? Everybody wants their characters fucking and sucking.
Dude, well,
there's
it
like
is
dinosaur
wild.
Porn.
These best selling books are all about like it is like. Lord of the Rings, but with like a lot of fucking, and I go on planes and like four or five people are reading these fucking things on the plane. It's like taking, remember how like Shades of Grey took over for a while?
Yes.
That's happening right now with like dragon porn and stuff like that. And I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah. There's like Taken by the T-Rex, Triceratops and Bottoms. They're like it's dinosaur porn. Yeah. I know I'm not writing that now.
Tops and bottoms.
There is
considered elf porn.
But whoa. There is something deep rooted either attraction or repulsion to having a small person writhe all over you. Like, you know, and
like elf or
I think that comes back like cavemen fucking had that fear and didn't know what it was.
What a miniature creature all over you.
Yeah. I think that's what it called. Like some people are like into it and some people are like, like, you don't want no part of it, but it sells.
I'm not judging. I'm just shocked that people care so much about like fairies having sex. With an elf, like, well, a sword glows on a wall. I mean, you know,
now we're now right back to Tom's college days. Yeah. Fairies having sex.
Yeah, but I mean, did you pick up that Dungeon Crawler Carl book I talked about?
Oh yeah, I'm on book three.
Oh man, I'm on book seven, man. It's fucking awesome, man. I love him so much. It's great.
What? Your recommendation of Reacher, though?
Yes,
Reacher has surpassed my ultimate. Version of a man. It used to be Jim Halpert.
Oh yeah, now it's Reacher.
It's fucking Jim Halpert. Jack Reacher. It's the best shit I've ever seen in my life. I just want
to walk into town and beats the shit out of people until he finds the answers. It's great.
It's the best form of entertainment I've ever come across. I'm taking it so slow. I say to my wife every night, I want to watch it all, but I want to make this last forever. Yeah. I've never fallen in love with a medium more than fucking the Reacher series.
Really? Wow.
I don't like season two.
No, season two.
One and three, I'm not done with three yet, there's nothing more I want than to fucking see Jack Reacher shoot scumbags.
Yeah.
Break the legs of scumbags.
Dismiss scumbags. I just started watching season three last night. I watched the first two episodes where they met that guy that's bigger than him.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, shit, I can't wait for this fight.
Because you know they're setting it up.
Oh, yeah.
And we fall right for it. We're like, oh, my God, how's Jack going to beat – how's he going to beat Paulie?
Yeah, Paulie's so big. He gets out of the car. And, like, he looks up and, like, they do that shot where it's over Paulie's, like, shoulder looking down at Reacher.
And Reacher,
which literally,
like,
you've never seen before. And the guy's like, what's up, little man? Yeah, the second season, like, they tried to do that thing where they gave him a team and a family.
Well, that was
like,
the thing, I think, was the – not that I didn't dig about it, was because now you had little miniature versions of Reacher. Everybody was a badass, and nobody needed Reacher's assistance.
Right, they all knew exactly what – they got shot and they went to a deli for a sandwich.
So when you have seven Reachers on the screen –
yeah,
you kind of watered down the guy that you're there to watching. Yeah, I did not like season two.
To me, it's just like you're like, well, the whole story is that he's a drifter who's on his own, and it's just like the first chance you get, you give him a family. Like literally, they're like, we're family, and I'm like, oh man, all right.
And they do everything to fucking make you fall in love with him. Like he likes dogs, he takes care of dogs that are being abused.
Ducks. He's good.
And then into season three, I mean, I'm sure you met the kid, right?
Yeah, with the ear.
And you know that he kind of becomes the father figure that he doesn't have.
Yeah, I'm only the second episode.
Yeah, so it's like, oh man, so good.
It is great because he's the type of guy that, like, when he knows he's got to get up at 3 a.m. to kick someone's ass, he just sits on his bed fully dressed, staring at the wall. So the clock strikes three. Am I wrong?
No.
He just stares at the wall. Clock turns three. He gets up and he houses someone. It's the best. Oh, I'm so happy, Walt. You're making my day.
I fucking adore it. Like I said,
why isn't that guy playing Batman?
Where does this guy come from?
He was on Blue Mountain State, which is a really funny show.
He was also Aquaman.
He was Aquaman on
Smallville.
Smallville or Arrow?
I thought it was Smallville.
Oh, well, whatever.
Oh, okay. And then, so he's been in other things. I thought he was just somebody they found.
Well, he was in – what is it? Not Doom Patrol. What was he in? No. The
other one.
Titans.
He was Hawkman.
He played Hawk.
Oh,
Hawk
shit.
And Dove, right?
Yeah. Oh, so he's had a lot of experience playing
Hawk. Yeah, but this is the first time that you're like, oh, this guy has found his
– And I love what he – it's like if fucking – Giddim was fucking jacked.
Yes. Yeah, I know exactly what right? I mean. Yeah. He's very particular.
If Giddim was jacked to the gills
with
his 148 fucking brain and his sense of like where like things have to be done a certain way.
Right. And no home.
Right.
Right.
He would be Reacher if but without the six pack.
Yeah, why don't you?
Unless it's a six pack of natties.
It's more like Creature.
Doesn't beat anybody up.
No.
I wonder what he got paid to do that role. He deserves perfect. Every penny, man.
When he starts that prison fight scene,
it's so good. It reminds me of every 80s great action flick where you like the era of bygone where like guys were larger than life, like in the 80s, like Gibson as Martin Riggs or Rambo.
Just doing shit I'll never be able to do.
John McClane. Right. It's like. And his sense of fucking ethics, where he's like in season two, he talks about like the girl he was attracted to, but he goes, how come we never got together? And he's like, I was your boss. Yeah. So I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you just want to meet guys like that.
Like when people ask him to do shit, like people are always like, Reacher, stand up. And he thinks for a second, he's like, no. And then he just looks at them and it's like, well, now what are you going to do? He just told the guy to do something. He just said no to your face. It's wild, man.
What network is this?
This is Prime. Amazon. Yeah.
Amazon, okay.
The amount of people, look at this fight. This is the prison fight. The amount of people that try to fight this guy is insane to me. I'm like, who on earth would ever look at him and be like, I can take that? And he's never fucking worried.
Yeah, that's got to be a weird mindset. Like, there are people out there like that who are not worried.
Yeah, I don't get
it. Of their physical, like any kind of altercation, they have no fear whatsoever.
Yeah, they don't care.
Like, I'm going to fucking fuck this person up.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's like to walk around like that.
Well, probably because like he's yet to be in a situation where he hasn't fucked someone up.
Yeah,
it is funny that he's part of the Rat Squad. Like he works for like the military, like internal, like. they investigate internally. So it is funny that they're like, he's like the rat squad.
Well, it's again, but it just goes to his code of like, well, you're in the military. You're breaking the rules. You're breaking the law.
You're right.
Of course I will take you down. Of course I will expose you.
You don't fuck with the special investigators, man. it's wild. He's great.
So good, though, Q. What a recommendation. Good.
Excellent. Oh, that makes me happy. And they have like 30 books about this character.
It's making me want to be like, I if I can't watch the show, I think I'm going to fucking crack open a book.
Oh, nice.
Oh, boy.
That's how much I love it. I want more Reacher.
Dude, this is making my day. I'm so glad I brought this to Walt's life.
Why did you just tell me that there was prison fights?
You're right. I didn't want to give it all away.
And it's so fucking awesome because they're not worried about the backlash because they go into prison. Of course, immediately one of the inmates is like, I'm going to fuck that cellmate of yours. Right?
Yeah, he's an evil rapist immediately.
Within the first second of being in jail, somebody's already threatening to rape the guy he's in a cell with. And then when he's in Afghanistan, he fucking
somebody was like trying to rape a kid or something and he kills him.
Yeah,
right?
He kills all these Middle Eastern villagers and it turns out like that you think because he went crazy and he just went and shot people – randomly, but no, it turns out he killed a bunch of fucking child rapists.
Like he played soccer. He was playing soccer with like village kids, and then that night he found out some dude was like creeping on him, and he just fucking shot him all.
He kills all, kills the whole village.
And then people later on try to throw it in his face. And it's like, what do you want from me? You
know, right. Like when she goes, so you killed them all? He goes, I don't want to be involved with somebody who thinks it's okay for me not to kill child rapists.
She goes, then she fucks him. She's like, good point. She takes the top off. It's great. Yeah, he never tries to fuck a chick. They just come to him. The guy's showering. She just shows up. Yeah, it's great, man. Oh, this is great. He sees this guy beating his wife. That's all he does is he looks at people with that fucking look. This guy was about to smack around his wife. Reacher just looked at him. And the guy was like, hey, man, I'm sorry, dude. I had a bad night last night.
I wouldn't want Reacher looking at me like that.
No. That's how you got to go up to Newark when we scored an 8-ball tonight. All right. That's how you got to roll around the streets of Newark.
Yeah, you can't have those glasses on, though, if you want to give them the look.
Just got to give them the look.
Gotcha. Tom, you lose the weight, learn the karate, lose the glasses. You could be our Reacher.
Oh, okay. Do I got to go to prison, too?
No. Maybe. You just got to patrol Airport Plaza.
We already have that, though.
No, we do not.
Yeah, get him's not a good Reacher.
Yeah. No, little one.
Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Good.
It's like Hunger Games meets like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It's just so funny. And I started like, I love it so much. Like, I want to keep living in the world. So I got the audiobook. So now I'm listening to the audiobook for the first time.
I heard they're even better.
It's so much fucking fun, man. Yeah. The guy, Dinnerman, man, he really created something that I fell in love with. Yeah. I hope I meet him someday.
It's lighthearted too, bro. It's not something like deep that, like,
right.
Yeah, it's very like easy to get into the world, and it's just it's like funny. It's a great premise.
And like even people I know who don't play, never played Dungeons & Dragons, are like, no, I understand it. They make it easy for me to understand and stuff like that. It's great. But yeah, all right, good. So you know, write something like that.
Well, what's your novel without giving away too much of it? But what's the genre at least?
It would be like. Fantasy.
Oh no!
Yeah. No elf porn. Dwarf fucking. No.
Fairies.
No. So far in my book, I'm about like halfway through. There's no fucking going on.
Is it
on
set on Earth or is it set in another magical land?
It's set on Earth.
Okay.
And it's set like in an alternate where in the 70s there was like a sunstorm that wiped out all of the electricity and everyone started dying, so they started praying to gods that reawoken, so like Egyptian gods and you know
what's
Greek
a sunstorm,
like the solar flares.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
I've
so
never
like,
heard it called the sunstorm.
Yeah, that's.
Did you phrase that? That's pretty good.
No, okay. Yeah, I phrased it. Yep,
you coined that.
Yeah, so all the electricity was destroyed. Like an EMP knocked out everything. So like people were dying everywhere. There was no electricity. So when the gods started waking up because they heard those calls, and then. It started changing the world around them. So they kind of had to like live in this one large area because outside of it, monsters.
So no hobbits or anything?
No hobbits. Okay. No.
Could get sued.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that sounds fun though.
Yeah. So
which gods? Which gods are you working with?
So far I had Anubis, I had Hera, I had
Isn't that Wonder Woman's mother? Or that's Hippolyte. Hippolyte.
Yeah. Ares.
So God of War.
All different god.
Yeah,
types.
Correct. All different pantheons. Yeah.
It's a lot of Greek stuff, huh?
Some Greek.
we know where this is going.
Isn't that Turkish oil wrestling? Yeah, so different ones, yeah. And then the people kind of like fall in line with them, and then the gods start granting them like one like power.
Mm.
Based on those type of, you know, when they pray, when they turn 18, they can go visit their like patron, and sometimes they get picked. But if they don't, no, patron, not Patreon. Oh, I like that. Sorry, it's no reacher. So, wow. Yeah.
But let me ask you something, because I really want you to get this concept, which I'm sure you already get, but I want to, like, all right, you publish the book. Mm-hmm. Somebody's like, we will publish this. Like, what, how many sales is a success for you? Like
any.
Anything less any. Than bestseller?
No, any.
All right, so you could write the book and self-publish it, and people will read it.
And I think that would be it. I think it's more like a legacy thing, like actually leaving something physical. You know right. what I mean? Like I think that. So I guess when I said earlier about being a success, it's more just leaving something like physical in the world where people could pick it up and look.
All
at
kidding
it.
Aside, you can achieve this so easily.
Yeah,
you can do this. I know you can do this without a doubt. I'm telling you. I'm not just saying it. This is a very achievable goal. You know, like we published Carney. It didn't do anything. It didn't make a blip in the comic book world, but we got it published though. I don't want to leave it to my kids. I don't want them reading that story.
That's not your legacy.
I don't want them. There's a lot of, you talk about porn. There's a lot of
questionable stuff.
Some freak sex. Well, not even sex, a fucking assault.
Yeah.
More and a guy in the bag dragging himself over. Yeah.
But it didn't do anything in terms of like, it didn't.
Yeah, and I don't need that.
The comic book world didn't notice it one iota. Not one fucking person even knows it exists, probably except us and maybe the listeners. But like you said, though, there is a feeling of accomplishment, though, because somebody else other than you believed in it and you to go ahead. So, yeah, I think you can do this. I think there's little to no doubt in my mind that you could achieve that, though, if you put your mind to it. You got to put your mind to it.
I know.
Yeah.
And stop.
And in terms of stuff like this, like, you're young. Like, you're 43.
It doesn't feel that way.
I know it doesn't feel that way, but you know.
Why do you feel like you're older than you really are?
Well, no, I think it's because, like, you know, we talked about it on an episode that hasn't aired yet, but it's also like, you know, I had kids, like, slightly later. So, like, you know, I worry, like, you know, by the time, like, they get married, I'm going to be, like, in my late 50s.
Oh, my
like,
God.
It's not, like, 60.
The horror. Well, how old will they be? How old will they be when they're 20?
Seven and three.
How old will you be when they're in their 20s?
So we got, what, 13 years? So I'm going to be 56 when Lucy would hit 20.
How old were your parents when you got married?
They were in their, like – oh, wait. Well, repeat the question again.
How old were your parents when you got married?
When I got married, I mean, I was married a long time before we had kids. So I think my parents would have been, let's see, I'm married 12
years. Is that hard of a question?
Yeah, I got to think of how
old. Doing math.
Yeah. I would say my parents were like 40.
Like, really?
No. 50.
Okay, so. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it works.
And think about it this way, too. Like, the chances of your daughter getting married at 20 are probably slim. So you're going
to
be even older.
So that means I'm going to be older. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to be closer to, like, 62, 63 by then.
What's the point of even getting worked up about this? Like, it's
that's just the way it is. Now that's the way it is.
Yeah.
If this is how bad it is for you, I should be jumping off a cliff.
Well.
My daughter just turned 10. My son turns 13 next month. I turn 55 tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
April's.
Are you going to take tomorrow off? You're not cleaning? Because you should have told me. You should have given me an advance notice if you were going to take your birthday off.
I mean, you manage half the day for them all.
I'm going to be old when those kids grow up.
I mean, but to quote someone at this table, just because you got problems, what is it? Just because you got it worse doesn't mean I got it bad?
No.
It's just because other people have it worse than me doesn't mean I have it good.
Yes.
Very true.
I got
everybody's in their own hell.
Yeah.
Well, you could spend your time like thinking about this and running it through your head over and over again, or you could sit down and use that time and get back into the fantasy world that you're creating, and which is a far more healthier way to use that energy that you're wasting on worrying about, like, oh my God, I'm going to be in a wheelchair with my daughter when I dance with my daughter at her fucking wedding.
Roll over her feet. Yeah.
As you get slightly closer, you know, those thoughts do kind of bug it. Like,
yeah, but
brain.
Here's the thing, though, dude. You're only starting to think about this stuff. The rubber's not going to hit the road for you for another 10 years. Like,
yeah.
By the time you start feeling like you're old, you're not old yet. I found
that's the one thing about kids. They're a yardstick for making you feel old. Watch them grow up. Oh yeah, like I see Sage at 19, and I'm like, oh my God. Like I look at pictures of her from 2018, and I'm like, oh my God, she was so. It wasn't even that long ago, but it was 7 years ago. You know, it's
crazy that pandemic fucked it all.
Yeah, when you wake up and you can't piss in the morning, then call me.
Okay.
All right. Until then, shut the fuck up.
Should I call the doctor first, or should I call you?
Call me first.
Okay. What time is it? Why are you calling me?
Okay. Because until then, you got no. You're not an old man. You're still fucking spry.
Yeah. Right. Like 43, 42, 43. That's. I think back. I was just starting my drug addiction back then. You still got a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much. How old are you now?
57.
So, I think you were what? Right around this age when you guys started Tom Steve Dave then, right? Yeah. Like 42, 43.
Yeah, right around there.
Oh, maybe.
That's perspective.
Maybe you start a new Tomcast?
Oh, is that what it's going to be? No. No one wants to hear that. So. The book, at least I'm not talking. People
the
have
wafer
a chance
hour.
Of listening to that.
It's like the wafer hour. Yeah.
I didn't do anything this week.
I went to no concerts this week. No 8 balls of drugs. No contacts.
Have we helped in any way?
I think so.
Don't lie.
You put a lot of things in perspective that I got a lot of time. I you know, Brian will ridicule me if I don't, you know, get more on the weight loss journey.
Yeah, I'll be there for you.
And, you know, I could take that time. And, you know, like you said, I don't necessarily need stardom or anything else with it. Just the, you know, come to the realization that as long as there's a physical copy out there that I can be like, I have this. This is mine. That's all I really want to do.
That's great. So
I think it has helped.
How close are you to finishing it?
I'd say I'm a little bit more than halfway.
Actively working on it, or it's been a bit?
It's been a couple months since I picked it up.
Right.
Like work things have kind of come in the way.
If you finish it,
okay,
I will provide the cover free.
Ooh.
Wow. Look at that, bud.
Free.
All right.
I don't usually say that.
Let me ask you a question.
Coming out of my mouth free.
Let me ask you a question.
Does it come easy?
Do I get to tell you what to build, or are you just going to put Elfhorn on it?
No, I would not. I would not. You could tell me what you're hoping for, but let me at least interpret that.
I'm okay with that.
That idea.
Okay.
You know. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you. If you finish it, and then this way you can have something when you submit to publishers. You know, you got this nice snazzy color art that that goes with your manuscript.
Awesome.
We'll take the cover.
All right. Thank you.
There you go. Tom, it's not over, Tom. I'm about to help you.
Okay. All right.
Start having more and better sex immediately. You've got to take advantage of this brand new deal from Adam and Eve at adamandeve.com/TESD. Go to adamandeve.com/TESD and pick any 4 sex toys for just $20. I know you make more than $20 an hour.
I do.
So in less than an hour, you could have 4 sex toys. Tom.
4 sex toys.
Mm-hmm. This is absolutely.
I thought you were pointing to Josh. I was like, he's not getting paid to clean the room, you know.
Yeah, Josh, you're going to have to fashion your own sex toys out of whatever you find in the back room.
An iTunes card, a bag of Cheetos, and a soda can.
You might find sex toys.
I might.
Yeah,
he's one.
This is a limited time offer, so get your four sex toys while supplies last. This is something for everyone. Four toys for $20, literally saving up to $175 with this exclusive offer. So take a look at AdamandEve.com/TESD to find out what four sex toys will be yours for just $20. Go to AdamandEve.com/TESD. It's the only way to get this offer.
Does Mrs. Tom know that you're coming in today to talk about your midlife crisis? Or is she even aware that you're in the bouts of a crisis?
She knew I was going to talk about it, but I don't think she really thought, like, do you really have a midlife crisis? So I think
she minimizes your crisis.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
That's where we got to talk about. That's way more interesting.
Can we talk about it after I read this Ridge ad? Otherwise, we'll be here all night. Let's see. Ridge, are you still carrying around the same bulky, overstuffed, and let's be honest, crusty leather wallet your grandfather had? It's time for an upgrade.
Oh, I got this. This is awesome.
Oh, the metal
wallet? Yeah, I have this. I'm not just saying this. I used Ridge for years and years before they became a sponsor. I really like the wallets. So meet Ridge Wallet, the sleek minimalist wallet that's changing the game. Ridge wallets are extremely thin, yet can securely hold up to 12 cards plus cash without adding any unnecessary bulk. Made from premium high-performance materials like carbon fiber, titanium, and stainless steel, Ridge wallets are built to last. In fact, they come with a lifetime warranty, meaning this is the last wallet you will ever need to buy. And it's not just about looks. Sitting on a bulky wallet tilts your pelvis, misaligns your spine. Here, this Tom, you're a medical guy. You should know this. And
that's why chronic
lower back pain.
Looks like he has scoliosis. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see that wallet he's fucking sitting on?
No, is it a big fat one?
Yeah, isn't it him that has the giant wallet? Oh, Rupp. That's why Rupp has scoliosis.
It's a common theme in TSD town.
A slimmer Ridge wallet helps keep your posture balanced and your back pain free. Plus, every Ridge wallet comes with RFID blocking technology to protect you from digital pickpockets. That's right.
Scan
your pockets. I don't think so. That can really happen, right?
It's true. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I always thought that was
one of those scanners and just scan your
your
pocket. For a limited time, our listeners are getting 10% off your entire order when you use code TESD. That's 10% off when you use promo code TESD at ridge.com/TESD. They have over 50 colors and styles, and they have a Ridge AirTag attachment, so you'll always know where it is if you want. And they're not just about wallets. They create premium everyday essentials like key cases, suitcases, and rings, all built with the same sleek, durable design. They have a free shipping, a 99-day risk-free trial, and lifetime warranty on all products. So for a limited time, you get 10% off by using code TESD at Ridge. At checkout, just head to ridge.com/TESD. Use code TESD, and you're all set. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please show support for our show and tell them that the show sent you. All right. That's Ridge. Now, what were we about to talk about, Walt?
I don't remember. What was it? Was it scoliosis?
No, you were talking about how my wife minimized my problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So you told her, you're like, hon, spiraling here, you know.
I don't think I use those words.
No, I don't have a black belt. I haven't written my novel. And what did she say to that? Did she just like not – she doesn't have time for that? She's like, well, I'm bringing the kids to soccer. I'm cooking this. I'm cleaning this. Shut the fuck up. You haven't written your fucking storybook.
Great American novel.
Pretty much. That's what I get. We got today problems, not future problems. Yes.
Storybook. She's so dismissive. Yeah.
God damn her.
So she doesn't do that. She's supportive, your wife?
I don't think...
So no.
Yeah, I wouldn't say supportive, really? But I also – yeah, she's more just like, nah, you'll just probably like stop doing it in a month or two. Yeah.
Because you've shown that behavior in the past and now she thinks she's got a quitter for a husband.
Yes, got a quitter for a husband.
Well,
yes.
give her Mary Beth's number. They could probably get her. Okay.
But like what would go on the list of things that you have accomplished in this vein?
So I think it's hard to say. I don't know.
Don't say kids. Nobody wants your kids as an accomplishment.
How come?
Because anybody can do it. Really, anybody can do it. I mean, they can't all raise them correctly, but anybody can have kids. So it's not really an accomplishment, I don't think.
Yeah.
Half of them are accidents. Trust me.
I don't know. I mean, I have a good house. I have a good job. You know, our kids are, you know, for the most part, well-behaved. So I think those are my, like, accomplishments. You know,
those are pretty great, no?
Yeah. I don't think, I don't know if there's much like – I think the things that I've listed are pretty much the only thing that I've like started and stopped that didn't finish.
Well, I'm super disappointed you don't list Sunday Stud 1 and 2 as one of your accomplishments.
Oh, wait. Like to my wife because she has no idea what happens up here. No idea. We talked about that.
I mean, I thought – I mean, one of the greatest things you ever came up with was the dickless picks. When you remember during the segment in Sunday Stud where people had to pose without their dicks out and still make him look sexy?
Yes. Brian is our three-time Sunday Stud winner?
Reigning stud.
I mean
– Who's judging this?
Every time it's different.
I think Mrs. Five.
Okay.
I think Tim the Record Store Clerk was on. It was a judge for that.
Has any
Frank? Frank judged, I think.
Yeah. You should get in on the next one. You can unseat me, perhaps.
Can you eat a fig? Seductively?
I pretend that it's something else.
I can try. I mean, I'll give it a shot.
That's normally our last
– That's a barometer. Yes. Manliness.
Yes.
You – I don't know. You're – I think a lot of people do what you're doing. You know, they question if what they're doing is worth it or what they're doing is time well spent. But at the end of the day, I mean, a lot of people waste a lot of time. Even fucking Einstein, I heard, was a procrastinator. I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying.
I want to believe it.
Well, if you look at what he accomplished, it's like, yeah, a couple of big things.
Did he ever just jerk off and think of some fucking –
Yes, I can answer that. Yes.
Right. Yeah. He wasn't always building a nuclear bomb.
Eyes closed. Some hairy German woman.
He was dropping a bomb in a fucking tissue paper.
Yeah.
That's true, man. You never think about it, but like Einstein jerked off. You don't really think about it that much. He might have been doing it in that famous picture where his tongue is sticking out like an old horny and shit.
Yeah, I mean, so much of everybody's time is spent doing things that if you overanalyze it, it's like, oh my God, I could be doing this. Or why did I spend so much time doing this? It's like, cuz. That's the way it is, man. It's just – that's life.
Usually when I question that, I'm like, because you're stupid. That's usually my inner monologue. I think you have to do things to minimize regret.
Yeah. Right? Oh, there you go. That's a great way to put it.
So where I'm at, like – so I have that – you know, I feed all those outdoor animals and I have that one mother that I've been feeding for like 3 years now. I call her mama. And twice a day she comes by and twice a day I prepare some food and I sit down on the back step and she comes up to me. She meows at me and she eats it. And she looks at me and she goes about her way. I did about twice a day now for years. You know, not every day, but a lot of days. And very few things make me feel as good as that. I'm literally like, this is like the best. Like she feels safe. She comes over here. Like we just sit there.
Got a little buddy.
Yeah, I got a little buddy. And I'm like, wow, this is fucking actually – this feels better than when I was on stage in Madison Square Garden. I'm not even fucking kidding. I'm like, this is like – so, you know, you got to kind of maybe just find those things that are – but it's hard to believe that being on MSG, it doesn't feel better. It doesn't sound right.
For the people who have not been on that stage, it doesn't sound
better.
It doesn't
sound like feeding a stray cat is or befriending a stray cat is better than that. But I'm here to tell you, it's fucking way better than that. And it brings way more to my life and it makes me way happier. So, you know, that's kind of any secret that I've unlocked has been like, oh, it's kind of like – that's what I'm saying, like – outcome you can't even control. So don't even worry about it. Like just concentrate on the things that make you feel like you're feeding like a flea bitten neighborhood cat. You know, and I that's the only secret I've found out after everything that I've been through and everything I've done.
Something that resonated with me. It was somebody wrote, the most valuable thing in life is having nowhere to go in the morning.
Oh yeah.
So let that sink in. Quit
who the
your
fuck
job.
Wrote that?
Brian Johnson?
Yeah, who wrote that? I couldn't agree more. Sounds like who wrote that?
I don't know who wrote it, but I saw it and I looked at it and I was like, it's so true. There's never a better feeling when you have somewhere to go that you don't want to go to.
Yeah. Right? Canceling plans is the best thing in the world, man, for me. I love it. But yeah, I agree.
So you got to get to that point.
Gotcha.
It's called retirement.
Yeah. I'm a long way from that.
Yeah. But even at the fire department, like that was always my thing. Like I worked two 24-hour shifts a week. And then the other 5 days, I could just fucking go see matinees and like go drink at a bar with my friends during the day. And it's always been like the way. It's always been so much fun. So I don't know.
You know. Yeah, I don't even think – now when I look at it, I didn't look at it as work when they said there's no better feeling than to have a morning you don't have to go anywhere. It would just be like just doing anything that you really don't feel like doing.
Right. Yeah.
It could be something like you got to go visit some relative that you don't really feel like going to see.
Don't want
to
do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's a nice feeling.
It is. That's the most that is the most valuable thing in life.
And the older you get, the less people expect you to be places too. So that's a nice
thing. Because you've carved this this person that is like, well, he's not going to come anywhere.
Oh, that I'm was not going to
ask
said.
Him anymore.
Yeah.
That was said to Q when he said, should we invite Tom? He goes, you can invite him, but he's not going to
come. He's not going to come.
So I've already carved that out.
Yeah. I swear, like last Saturday, it was warm. It was finally 80 degrees or something.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And I had just fed Mom and the cat. And I came in back inside and it was getting dark. You know, I lit a fire and I was sitting there and I was reading the Dungeon Crawl of Carl thing. And I looked and I could see Manhattan, you know, and I thought back to me in my 20s and I was like, wow, 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. There's no fucking way I'd be inside. I'm like, there's so many kids out there having fun right now and doing crazy shit. And the thought of it is abhorrent to me. Like, the thought of it is absolutely abhorrent to me. Like, I just want to sit here and read. It's getting old's fun.
I like it. It's easier than being a young kid where you feel like you have to, like, experience everything at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, yeah.
I had that old man mindset. In my 20s, though.
You have, yeah.
Yeah.
And it never
you were old long before anybody else I know.
Yeah, I was old before my time.
Mary Beth is like that. She's an old hag.
But it could, you know, it could all of a sudden just one day.
Wait, did he say hag?
What did he say? She's an old hag. Didn't have to add that. Hag part, I guess.
But there's always that danger, though, that I wake up, though, and just something, and I become 180 degree opposite, though, right?
Oh, like a Freaky Friday type situation. Not
like all of a sudden I'm in
switching bodies.
I'm in Manhattan every night.
Oh God! Could you imagine?
That's the only thing that can get me out of this. Yeah. If Walt's like, let's go chop it up in Manhattan.
Yeah. I'm going.
Oh, I'm going. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't give that up. I'm very glad I did that in my 20s. Like I don't have not fond memories of it. I just don't want just don't want to do it anymore. Yeah.
You get over that line. Yeah. We'll just get over that other side of that line.
Yeah. Yeah. What am I doing here?
Yeah, the only thing you can do is feed some sort of food to a cat without,
Well, I still get my nuts.
Sure you do, Kim. Sure you do.
I was out with
Keep telling yourself that.
Me and Fatone were out last night. Yeah, we went out. We were out in Manhattan having fun.
Somebody had an idea. We got to bring you and Fatone in for TESD&D. We got to get Fatone in here dressed up.
Yeah, he'll come do that.
Yeah.
He'll do it. He's back. He's living here now again until through the summer.
Through the whole summer.
Yeah, so he'll be here.
And as the dungeon master, you can make him dance with you.
Oh,
yes.
There we go.
All right.
Cool midlife crisis averted.
As usual. Why'd you wait so long to fucking just come and ask us what the fucking answer were to all your problems?
I have. I've been bugging you for weeks for it.
Do you dance at home? Or are you one of those families like you see on TV where like your whole family dances together and shit, stuff like that?
Well, like if there's like certain Disney songs on, like we'll have the music on and like we'll dance around like the kitchen.
With the
like
kids.
We're putting stuff away. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Hey, that's nice. Sure.
It's not hardcore rap. It has to be Disney.
Yes. Well, with a 7 and a 3-year-old, I don't want to expose him to hardcore
rap. No WAP.
No WAP. No
Dochi. No
True Life Crew or middle-aged you now.
All right. Well.
No Grave Diggers.
All right. Jeez. So I think we did a lot here today.
I think so. I mean, yeah, I got – I listen, if I can dance with a tone, write a book with your cover, and Brian ridicules me to lose weight, I mean, it's a big episode.
Book Atomic Habits?
No.
It's a book called Atomic Habits. I want you to read it. It's about what you're fighting against, about how you get a little bit better each – like how you don't go months without writing and stuff. And it's about like that theory of like 1% change a day, 1% better a day. Like by the end of the year, you're you know, X amount better or whatever.
Well, Ethan Suplee has something similar to that called like Kill Your Clone.
Oh, what's
and that? It's the same yeah. type of thing where it's like always try to like always do one thing every day to make yourself one thing better than the day before.
Right, right.
So it's always like, well, today I was this, and if you like, all right, I read a chapter of a book. Well, that's one step better than the clone.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit more like that. That sounds like a more holistic overview. This is more about like your habits that prevent you from succeeding at the things you want to succeed.
Gotcha.
It's pretty good. Atomic Habits.
That's the sailboat guy, right? From Moritz?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Snooch. Yeah.
Who, indeed, Snooch, because he looks amazing.
Jacked.
Yeah. He's jacked up. Yeah. Like he's not the guy he used to be at all.
Right.
You know, he's huge in the art world, too.
Is he?
Huge. Like he's on the board for several museums. Like he
oh, really?
Advises them on what paintings to do. Like, yeah, I got into a conversation with.
That's crazy. How do you get that gig?
He just got into art and found this love for it and started buying and selling it for himself personally. And then his knowledge and experience grew and grew.
I would love that job.
Yeah.
I'd be like, only George Perez, John Byrne pieces in this. Get rid of Michelangelo's.
Yeah, get the shit out.
Get rid of all this abstract shit. Is
that a
shit?
Naked angel? Get rid of that shit.
I saw an art exhibition, and I know it's subjective, but it's this guy who like took a bunch of pails, like at the beach pails.
Yeah.
Filled them up halfway with sand and like piled them up to where it was like 10 high, and then they fell over.
Yeah.
And that was the art. And there was sand all over the floor.
Yeah.
And there was a beat where I think people were like, was that it? And the guy's just like, he like puts his arms out like, that's it. And everybody goes crazy. They start clapping and shit. And I'm like, this is like, do you have to pretend you get it in these types of situations?
I think you do, yeah.
You got to pretend you get it.
You want to stay in those circles?
Yeah.
You better start clapping.
Oh, yeah. There you go. The same thing I could see a kid do at the beach.
Yeah.
I'm now supposed to pay thousands of dollars.
You get annoyed at that. Would you stop fucking stacking goddamn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. Why do you got 10 pails, kid?
You look at Andy Warhol stuff and you're like, wait, he didn't even do half his own shit?
Right, yeah.
And most of it was copies anyway? You're like, what is going on? Oh, there it is. Look at that.
Yeah, there's the pail guy. Now he sets it up.
I mean, who am I to say if somebody in that crowd loves this? But.
Yeah, no, he's just waiting and waiting. There's an upside down bicycle on the ceiling.
And it just falls.
There he goes. There it sort of falls. Now there's sand all over it. Then he waits. People are like, okay,
well, you know
is that
what
it
represents, right?
I don't. The sands of time?
Society.
Society? Okay. Well, I'm too dumb to get art. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe definitely. That's the key.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I would say tell him Steve Dave, but we still got a couple of spots. We got to pay these bills. Did you know that one man, this is a downer. Did you know that one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, it's the most common form of cancer among men ages 15
to 35. You better be selling the cure.
I don't think this is the cure.
Yeah, where could this be going?
I know. April. Well, we're going to be out of April by the time this drops, I think, right? April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. I shouldn't find out on the last day of April. It's the whole month. I would have been celebrating or observing at least.
Yeah.
We want to take a second to talk about men's health issues that are important to us. That's why Manscaped has partnered with Testicular Cancer Society to raise awareness and encourage early detection. Manscaped is putting action behind their words and donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society to help lives and promote routine self-checks. And there's a special bundle from Manscaped that not only helps keep you fresh and well-groomed, but also supports this amazing cause. Meet the TCS Ball Hero Bundle, featuring the special edition TCS Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra and the special edition TCS Boxers 2.0, all designed to help you keep you feeling smooth, comfortable, and confident. Join the 12 million member worldwide who have trusted Manscaped and use code TESD for 20% off plus free shipping at Manscaped. First up is the bundle. It rocks a new brand new purple design in honor of testicular cancer awareness.
You know, it's so sad though. Like,
what's that?
You know, growing up, I couldn't wait to have balls that had hair on them. And now I'm in a rush
now
to
people
shave
got
it
hair
off.
On your balls. Okay. You say so.
All the nights I would check for a whisker, and go to sleep crying. And now I'm supposed
Manscaped
to shave it
to
off.
Shame you. Yeah. After all that work growing it. Yeah.
All that work.
The trimmer is both cordless and waterproof, making trimming a breeze. And here's where things get interesting. The foil blade, crafted to transcend the boundaries of your typical trim, achieved with a trimmer blade. This foil blade is designed to leave you with a finish that's irresistible, sleek, and utterly bare. Has a powerful LED light, which I know Gidim loves. And it features a constant RPM motor. Okay, there's a whole bunch of things that you can read about. Anti-chafing, waistband hugs your body. Oh, these are the
– I think balls that are completely fucking shaved, though, look like they're sick balls, though.
How many balls sickly, have you sickly seen balls? That are
shaved? Yeah, they look so like – yeah, they look like they have something wrong with them.
I'm totally shaved ball-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like you're sick. It's like, what's wrong with Brian?
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, man, he must have, well, he must have testicular cancer. It's just like you can see it in his face. How many people are seeing my balls? Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, that pool party. And you jumped off the. You jumped off the.
You kept him flying Dutchman's off the off the diving board.
Who's Captain Longnuts now?
Yeah, really, dude. Yeah, I mocked him when I was a kid, but now it's like every day that passes, gravity's taking its toll.
They get closer to the ground every day.
Oh, is that really happening?
No, right. Not yet. Not yet.
I was like, what ace is that at?
Let's see. There's a limited supply of these, and the special edition products won't last long, so get your bundle while supplies last, and let's help raise awareness for testicular cancer together. You get 20% off, plus free shipping with promo code TESD. All right.
I like to leave one super long hair.
Just to prove it?
Just it's striking in the light. When the light hits it the right way.
What, you got a lamp on its side or something pointing at it? What is that Frankenstein thing? You drew that, obviously, right? Like,
yes.
That's your artwork.
Yeah, that's my artwork. It's something for a game show for on the Patreon I'm working on.
Dude, it is fucking awesome.
It's pretty cool,
man.
Isn't it?
Thank you.
Yeah. What, like...
It's every version every of Frankenstein version that I like, yeah. Yeah. And Mary Shelley kind of like hanging over them.
Who's the, that's the mother one? Which one's that?
That's Frankenstein Jr.
From where?
From Hanna-Barbera from the 60s. He was a robot. He really wasn't a Frankenstein.
God, that is fucking cool, man. Yeah,
thank you.
That is like – that's a – you should sell that. You should sell that print.
Brian already called dibs on it.
All right. Yeah. I made the print. Oh, yeah. I'll sign them in the limited edition prints.
Oh, my God. That is amazing, man.
It really is.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I love the Frank.
Yeah, but we're gonna do like a Beat the Baron game show, and in the set on the green screen, it'll be all like it's a, like we're in a mansion, and these are some of the pictures on the wall.
Oh, don't worry, you'll know all about it.
Ooh, man,
all about
that
it.
That is awesome.
Thank you. All right, look for those prints on eBay this weekend.
Is that the one? Wait, let me see if I can. Obviously, that one is the DC one, right?
Yes, that's the DC one.
Frank and Barry, De Niro.
Yes.
Is that young Frankenstein behind?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Then there's Frankenstein.
That's Glenn Strange Frankenstein. I didn't go with Boris.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was like, you know what? Everybody went with Boris. Sure. Everybody would have fucking put Karloff in there.
I think you get
I'm going to be the fucking...
The renegade.
The vanguard.
But you're getting a two for one kind of with that a little bit because he's got the bolts. Look,
if you could tell me who's behind Glenn Strange, then right there, you're going to get a free print.
Oh, really? So this is a super fucked up face.
Yeah. We'll post a picture of it on Twitter when this episode drops.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to get
all right. That's a real – it's a deep cut.
I won't be able to get that.
It's teenage Frankenstein from the 50s. I don't know. A B-movie from the 50s.
Wow.
If you were on our Patreon, you would know that, Q.
Yeah, I guess
so. Do you know who's underneath the arm of Glenn Strange?
No, now I'm starting to get lost a little bit as we go left.
That was from a movie called Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell.
Okay.
It's a Hammer movie, Hammer Frankenstein.
Gotcha. All right, and there's Fred Gwynn, Obbs. And then yours, your Frankenstein?
No, that is Marvel's Frankenstein from the 70s.
The one on the bottom with the vest.
Yes.
Yes, that one I know, the one up top.
Yeah, the one on top. Do you know who that is?
I thought that was yours.
Nope. That is Toho's Frankenstein.
Oh.
There was a giant Frankenstein in the 60s called Frankenstein Conquers the World. And he was like a 60-foot tall Frankenstein.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. No, I didn't know the Marvel one and the DC one I know.
Yeah, he would be as tall as the robot one. The robot one was like as tall as a skyscraper too.
Dude, this is great. And Frankenberry, obviously, which is a great inclusion.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, nice work.
Yeah, it's really nice. You know what else is nice?
You're better than fucking Ethan Suplee.
Am
I? Better eye. You should be on a board of a museum. Getting my shit hung up.
Yeah, you're right.
And fucking making some extra cash for me on the side selling prints.
You will sell a lot of those. That's cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Excuse me for breaking into the show like this, but one thing I learned all those years manning the secret stash counter, you got to strike while the iron's hot. The Frankenstein print we are talking about is now up on eBay. limited to 150 prints, this 18 by 24 hand-signed and numbered print entitled A Mother and Her Frankensons, how cool is that, can now adorn your walls. Just search TESD Frankenstein Flanagan print on eBay and then hit the buy it now button and you'll own one. All right, back to the show.
We have other Ed.
One more. One more. Prize Picks, and I'm ready to do it this week. Prize Picks is the best place to turn your sports knowledge into cash. With millions of members, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 2,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. Cash in on the basketball playoffs with Prize Picks. Don't miss your last chance to add your favorite players from the court to your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's points, rebounds, assists, take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up 2,000 times your cash today. Turn your playoff hot takes into tickets. It's a basketball's championship series starting with a play-in round. Every lineup you make on Prize Picks will enter you into the Takes Two Tickets sweepstakes, which could land you and your plus one a VIP trip to the championship. Now, right there, they wrote the ship. But I know a lot of people aren't as hip as I am, so I'm just going to say championship. Prize Picks is the best place to win cash while watching sports. Join millions of users and sign up today. Let me see. Download the app today, Prize Picks, and use code TESD to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code TESD to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game, is what they say. And that's it. That's it. That's it for spots.
I know you got to go, Q, right?
Yeah, I got to go. I'm not around next week. I won't be here next week.
Where are you going?
I have a we're shooting Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday. Well, shooting something else Monday. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, we're working. And then I'm out of town for a charity thing next weekend.
Charity thing, huh?
Yeah. I'll fill you guys all in on that when I'm back. It's going to be fun. There's going to be some stories coming out of it.
All right, good.
Yeah, I won't be here next week, unfortunately.
Okay. I want to say congratulations to Troy's daughter. She was named – what was she named? It was on her team, the goalie and
– yeah.
God damn it. Now I lost it. I just have lacrosse game written down.
She's been killing it.
She's been killing it. Yeah, I went to her lacrosse game on Saturday, that really nice day where you were out feeding your cat. Yeah. And it was something else. It was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah.
And that fucking field is huge, and these girls are running back and forth and back and forth.
I get exhausted just looking at it. Goalie of the year, rookie of the year.
Goalie of the year, rookie of the year, and Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference first team. Yeah, she killed it, man.
Great.
You couldn't remember goalie of the year?
No, I knew goalie of the year. I couldn't remember the other one.
Jesus Christ.
No, goalie I could remember. It was the other one. I was like, what was
it? Q, did you notice the new TV?
I did. I noticed the that they didn't take the stickers off. I have an. Can you return that? Because I have a spare TV. So if it's not too late to return that, I could just give you one that's probably leaving a little bit bigger.
Gidim doesn't know what to do.
So it's a point of contention in our Yenta group because Gidim is blaming Chuck for breaking the TV, even though the TV sometimes takes up to 15 minutes to turn on. and Chuck moved it. And get
well, that TV that you had was one I gave the office to begin with. But I have another one in my basement. It's leaning against the wall right now. So if you want to, if you can return this one, I got you.
Well, he went rogue. He ordered a TV without even telling me.
But when?
Monday.
Well, there's plenty of time to return it still.
Box is gone, probably.
Unless he wants
the box is still back there.
Oh, box is still back there.
Of course it is.
Tell him, Steve, Dave.
Thank you.